Now, Kinilach, Reb Sachyo was a big businessman. Not only a big businessman, but he was a big chassid of the Rebbe Rishab. Of course, the main thing by Reb Sachyo was to be a big chassid. But also, he happened to be a big businessman. Hashem benched him with a good head, and he could learn Torah, and he was a big Talmud Chochem, and he also could run a big business with many, many workers, and he handled a lot of money and did a lot of smart things that Hashem benched him to do. So he was a big businessman. And in the winter, this is what he would do for his big business. He would go out in the forest and he would rent a forest. What means renting a forest? He would go to the Paritz, who was like a king over the land, who would own the land. And he would go to the Paritz and he would ask him Rishus to take over a big part of the forest. Because the Paritz had many, many, many forests in his land. And Reb Sachyo would pay the Paritz money, a lot of money, and he would go into the forest with his workers. He had many workers. And the workers would chop down a lot of trees. Not every tree, but a lot of trees. And when you chop down a tree, it falls down into the snow. And then they take the trees and they slide it down the snow all the way to the river. And they tie the trees together next to the river. And then they push the trees into the river like boats. And they float down the river. And they float it to the sawmills where they cut up the trees into wood. And the wood they sell because people need wood, of course, to build. They used to build most of the buildings from wood and the houses, to build all kinds of things out of, to build furniture, or parts of the wood they would use just for burning, to make fires. And wood is a very important thing. They even make paper out of wood. And other things come from trees and from wood. So this is worth a lot of money. This is a business that's worth a lot of money. And of course, Reb Sachyo, with all of his workers working the whole winter, he would make a lot of money, and he would pay his workers a lot of money. I mean, the workers got their pay, whatever they got, but there was a lot of money involved over there. And for the rest of the year, Reb Sachyo would be able to have money for his family. And the rest of the year, after the winter, Reb Sachyo would sit and learn Torah day and night, because his parnasa came from the long work hours that he put in from morning till night. In the winter time, he worked very hard, but from that he had money for the rest of the year. This was his big business, and this was his job. Now, because he had to go into the forest with many workers, most of them were goyim, and what kind of goyim already are there that chop down trees? They have to be big, heavy, strong goyim. And Reb Sachyo has to take a lot of money, and he has to deal with people coming to buy the wood when he floats it down. And sometimes people came to buy the wood. You see, there's two ways. Either he could sell the wood when he gets to the place where they cut it up, or people also came out to the forest to buy the trees, and they say, "We'll buy the trees from you, and we'll take care of floating it down to the river. And we will take care of cutting it up into the wood." So there's different ways the business went. Either he would sell the trees to people, because he was in charge of cutting it down, or he himself would float it down and sell it to where they made wood. Whatever be the case, there was a lot of work, and a lot of workers, and a lot of money. And Reb Sachyo would have to leave his family, because the whole family didn't go out into the forest. Only Reb Sachyo went. And sometimes he took a helper. And Reb Sachyo had a little house out in the forest. He usually went to the same Poritz in the same forest every year, because the forest was very big and there were so many trees there. And he would spend the whole winter in the little house in the forest, in the snow. And the workers had the place where they stayed, in a different building. And he would leave his family, and he would come back around Pesach time. And he was away for Hanukkah also, because Hanukkah is in the winter. He would leave before Hanukkah. That's when the work started. Now, every year, Reb Sachya, before he left on his big trip into the forest, before he would say goodbye to his family, he would go to the Rebbe Rishab, his Rebbe, and he would ask him for a bracha, for hatzlacha, and everything should be okay. Because there was a lot of danger involved, and a lot of things involved. And even if there's no danger, who is the one that gives a person to be mazel dik and hatzlacha, that gives a person to be successful? It's Hashem. Even if everything is okay, you need Hashem's bracha. Every minute you need Hashem's bracha. So Reb Sachya would go to Reb Rishab and ask him for a bracha from Hashem, because the Rebbe is close to Hashem, and everything should be okay, and he should be able to return to his family, and everything should be good. And usually every year, the Rebbe Rishab gave a bracha to Reb Sachya. But this one year, a very different kind of a thing happened, and a very interesting thing that Reb Sachya didn't understand until later. Are you listening closely? Shh. This year, Reb Sachya went into the Rebbe Rishab, and he told the Rebbe he's going on his big trip into the forest. And the Rebbe looked at him and he said, Reb Sachya, make sure that before you go into the forest, you buy special Hanukkah candles. Now, Reb Sachya was thinking, every year he takes with himself Hanukkah candles because he's there for Hanukkah. What could be special about Hanukkah candles? Of course, Hanukkah is special and the Hanukkah candles are special. But what does the Rebbe mean? And the Rebbe continued speaking. And he said, Reb Sachya, what I mean is the very long, big, big candles. The big ones. There's different kind of candles. First of all, there's the oil kind of candles. But Reb Sachya didn't take the oil and the wicks into the forest, into his little house. He usually took regular candles, which are also kosher and also good for Meneira. The Rebbe Rishab told him, you make sure to take very big, long, fat candles, big candles this year. Now again, every year Reb Sachya took candles into the forest. Hitaka had an oil menorah. And for an oil menorah, you take the wicks and you take the oil, and you have a shamish, which is a regular candle. But the Rebbe told him, this year you take big candles, the candle candles. And not only that, you should keep them in your pocket at all times, wherever you go. Whenever you go out into the forest, not only in your house, you should have the candles. Whenever you go out into the forest, you should have the candles in your pocket. Now, of course, this is a very strange thing for Reb Sachya to hear, because when do you bench the Hanukkah candles? In your house. And what kind of Hanukkah candles does he use? He has the oil, and he has the wicks, and just the candles he has for the shamish. But this year, the Rebbe is telling him a special thing. Take candles, big candles, the biggest kind of fat candles. And not only that, you should have them in your pocket the whole time, even when you go out into the forest. And of course, Reb Sachya is thinking, why would I need candles out in the forest if I bench in my house? But again, it's the Rebbe Rishab that's telling him this. And Reb Sachya knows, because he's a chassid, that when the Rebbe speaks, you listen. And you hear exactly what the Rebbe is saying. And you don't start asking questions right away, even if you don't understand something. because a Rebbe is speaking with Halakite and with Ruach HaKodesh. And the words of the Rebbe are special. And if you don't understand it right away, it might take time for you to figure them out. Because we're just regular people. And a tzaddik and a Rebbe is Halak. So even though Reb Tzachi did not understand what's going on, and Ikataka asked questions, he did not. He only listened very carefully to what his Rebbe was telling him. And he decided, of course, he's going to do what the Rebbe says. Of course he's going to do what the Rebbe says. Kinalach Reb Sachya gets his things ready to go on the trip. And he goes and he buys the special big candles. And he gets all of his clothes together, and his talis and tefillin, and his menorah, and kosher food to take out, and bottles of wine for Kiddush, because he has to spend Shabbos in the forest in his little house. And he takes all the things that he needs for his work. And now he says goodbye to his family, to his wife, and to his kinderlach. And he puts on his big heavy coat and his big boots for the snow. And now he goes way, way out into the forest to his little house. And now Kinalach Reb Sachya starts the work. And every day he goes out into the forest and he looks at the workers to see if they're doing their job. And he watches them chopping down the trees. And some of the trees they push down through the snow and slide it down the mountains to the river. And other trees they sell to people that come out to buy the trees, that they want to take care of themselves with the trees and do their own making the wood out of the trees. And Reb Sachya Kinalach is taking care of all the money, and he has to pay the workers, and of course a lot of the money he's got to keep for other things, for other parts of the business, and of course a big part of the money he's got to keep for his family. This is his business for the whole year. Until Kinalach, he's got a lot of money from all the people that came out to the forest with money to buy the trees. And where would he keep the money? He was afraid to keep it in the little house, because maybe when he's away, maybe when he's gone, those workers, and they know that Reb Sachya has a lot of money, maybe they would try to go in his house and look for it, and chas v'shalom, to steal the money. And then he wouldn't have any money for his family. So what he did is he would put it in his coat, he would put it in his pockets, he would even put it in his big heavy socks and in his boots to keep it with him at all times to make sure that it's safe. One day, Kindalach, it was the fourth day Hanukkah. That means the night before they had lit four candles, and so the day afterwards is the fourth day of Hanukkah. Reb Sachya now was going out of his little house into the forest to see the workers doing their job, to look over them, to see they're doing their work properly. And he left his little house and he started to go into the forest, into the snow, with his big coat on, with his heavy boots. And by this time it was packed full of money that he had to carry with him. And as he went up at his house, as he left his house, he remembered that he has to take with him Chanukah Licht. Every time he has to take with him Chanukah Licht. And that time he had just forgotten to put them in his pocket, but he remembered just in the right time, so he went back. Went back in his house, he took his box of big Licht, and he put 6 candles in his pocket. Because he knows that the next time he lights candles, he's going to have 5 for the 5 days of Hanukkah, the 5th day, and 1 for the Shamash. He put 6 candles in his pocket. He had big pockets in his coat for the money and for the Hanukkah Licht. And now he goes into the forest. And it's in the afternoon. The workers are chopping down trees and they're working. And he goes deeper into the forest to watch other workers. There are many workers there, many trees to chop down and much work to do. And the whole day he's in the forest watching them. And now it's time to go back to his little house, the Bench Chanukah Licht. The sun is going down. It's getting to be towards evening, and he starts walking back through the forest to get back to his little house. And all of a sudden, Kenalach, he sees all of the workers together standing by a tree. And he's wondering, it's time for them to all go back to their building where they stay, and they have food to eat, and it's cold in the forest. What are they just standing there by that tree for? Usually when work is done, they want to get home, they want to get back, and they're all standing there. And they were all looking at Reb Sachya. And Reb Sachya felt something is going to happen. He felt that there's danger. Because as he's walking, they're looking at him, and each one of them is holding their axes. Each one has an axe that he chops down trees with. Usually when the day is done, they put away the axes in a certain place over there in the forest. Or actually, yeah, they put away the axes. They're all holding the axes. And now they're walking towards Reb Sachya with the axes on their shoulders. And they gather around Reb Sachya in a circle. And Reb Sachya knows he's in danger. One of them says, Sachya, Jid. Jid means a Jew. We have a surprise for you, Reb Sachya. A surprise. What's the surprise? The surprise is that we're not going to be working anymore. It's cold. We have a lot of work. It's enough. Reb Sachya says, but if you don't work anymore, so how will you get money? Don't you need money? Isn't that why you come to work? Oh, they smile. There's an easier way for us to get money. Why should we have to work so hard in the forest chopping down trees? We have a much easier way. You give us the money that you have in your coat and that you have on you. We'll take that money and then we'll go with that money and have all the things that we need. And Reb Sachya says, but your workers, you work for the money. I'm also working for the money I need for my family. And if you take it away from me, that's stealing. And they started to laugh. Oh, it's stealing, is it? Yes, it is. Well, give us the money because we are going to now steal your money. Malkinallah, Reb Sachya didn't want to give all that the money, so much money. But he sees his life is in danger. What is more important, Kedalach, your life or your money? Your life is more important than your money. And they have those axes on their shoulders. They're holding them. And there are many of these workers. And Reb Sachya, Kedalach, takes out the money and he gives it to them. And then he turns around to go, but they're still standing around in a circle with the axes on their shoulders. Not so fast, Sachya, because now we have one more thing to do. Reb Sachya says, well, you stole my money and you don't want to work anymore, so you might as well go because you don't have anything else to do except take the money and leave. And they said, no, now we have to kill you. Reb Sachya says, kill me? You just stole my money. Why do you have to kill me? What's that going to do for you? Oh, because if we let you go, you're going to go tell on us and you get us in trouble. Reb Sachya says, let me go back to my family. Leave me alone. You took my money already and let me go. Oh no, Reb Sachya, we have to kill you because otherwise you'll tell the police and you'll get us in trouble. Reb Sachya says, look, I'm not going to tell. My life is more important than my money. All I want to do is go back to my family. I want to go back to my Rebbe. I want to go back to my shul. Money is not the whole life and the whole world. Hashem will help and I'll get money in a different way. Let me go. They did not let him go. They started to lift up the axes. And he started to come to Reb Sachya with the axes up in the air. Reb Sachya knows that this is the end. All of a sudden Reb Sachya says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In the whole world, there is a law. Even amongst killers and robbers, there's certain rules. And you are killers and robbers, but there's one rule that you must follow that even the biggest killers and robbers follow. Before they kill somebody, they give them one last wish. One last request that they could have something. Oh yeah, we heard of that. One last thing, but we're not going to let you to go away. If you ask us to go away, to let you go, we're not going to let you do that. And Pesachim says, well, I know that. I have one last wish, and that is to do one last mitzvah. It's Hanukkah. It's the time to light the fifth candle of Hanukkah. It is my Jewish special yontif of Hanukkah. Let me please daven for the last time, daven mincha, and then let me light for the last time the Hanukkah candles, and then do whatever you have to do. Let me do at least one more mitzvah for Hashem. Oh, we're not going to let you go back to your house, Reb Sachya. Oh no, we're not letting you go, because you'll figure out a way to run away. You're going to be right here. So we'll kill you right now. Pesachim says, no, I have the candles in my pocket. And Pesachim all of a sudden starts to think to himself, look, I guess the Rebbe knew I was going to have to die in the middle of the forest in the snow because he told me to put candles in my pocket and I have them right here. Maybe the Rebbe knew that I would have a chance to do one last mitzvah. And Kinlach, he felt like a little bit close to Hashem, close to the Rebbe, even in this big trouble that he had, this very sad time that he's having right now. It's going to be the end of his life. And here the Rebbe told him to have candles in his pocket. He said, oh, at least I can do one last mitzvah. And he took the candles out of his pocket. He showed them, look, I have candles. Let me do it right here. And then they said, Pesachim, you have no menorah. We know that every time you take a menorah, a silver menorah, and you put in candles, we saw you do it, so you can't do it, so we're going to kill you now. And Pesachim says, you don't need a metal menorah or a silver menorah. I'm going to make a menorah right here out of the snow. And he got down on the ground, and he took snow, and he started making a menorah out of the snow. And he stuck the candles in. Look, I'll use this. He made a little bit higher part for the shamish. Okay, they said, but make it quick. And Pesachim explained to them, he's just going to daven. He's going to light the candles, and he wants to be for some time by the candles. He's supposed to be at least a half an hour by the candles. Please let me be some time by the candles. Okay, we'll let you do this. This is the last thing in your life. And he davened mincha, you can imagine, with such tears and crying, and with his whole heart, with his whole neshama, feeling this is the last mincha in his life, the last ashrei, and the last shemone esrei, the last aleinu. He said the mincha with his whole heart. And when he finished davening kindalach, he took his candles, and for the last time in his life, he made the brachas on the Chanukah licht. He lit the candles. For the last time, he sang Haneiros Hallelu, every word feeling how precious it is. And then, kindalach, he sat watching his candles. And the goyim got restless and they got nervous. Let's kill him now, come on. Let's go get him. Nah, let him sit for a few minutes. Let the Jew watch his candles. Look, the last thing he wants is to watch candles. You can imagine, the last thing in his life, to sit and watch candles burning in the snow. And kinalach, as Reb Sachya was sitting watching his candles burning in the snow, and now it was dark, the candles, since they were very big, bright candles, they were shining, and they were shining so bright. And the snow, being white, were also shining with the light from the candles. And it just happened. Of course, when we say it just happened, it means that everything is Hashgacha Pratis from Hashem. Hashem makes things happen because Hashem is in charge of the time. Hashem is in charge of everything in the world and what time everything happens. Even what second it happens. Not only what day it happens, even the little second that it happens, Hashem makes things happen for certain reasons at certain times. Hashem is in charge of all the clocks and all the watches and all the time in the whole world. Just at that moment, Kinalach, in the forest, was going the Paretz, who owned the forest, and a lot of his friends. They were going on a hunting trip. They had gone on the hunting trip that day, and they were coming back in the night, and they were going through the forest, carrying their guns, their rifles, riding their horses, and the bright light was shining in the forest. And the Paretz, he's riding his horse, carrying his big rifle, and he looks into the forest and he sees, hey, look at a bright light shining. What is that in the forest? Could that be a fire? It's so bright. It's not somebody's house because nobody lives there. Nobody's burning light in their house. That's my forest. I know what's in there. There's nobody living there that they have lights on in their house. Could it be a fire in the forest? There's a forest fire? No. First of all, it's snow. It's cold. And the fire is staying just the same size. It's not spreading. There's no forest fire. What's burning over there? And the Paretz, he says to his friends, let's go into the forest over there quietly. There's some kind of a fire. There's something going on over there. Who knows? Maybe there's some kind of robbers and they're camping out in my forest. Oh, if there are people in my forest, I'll throw them out. Somebody said, well, don't you have that Jew who rents out your forest? His name is Reb Sachya. We know him. He's a nice man. What about him and his workers? Maybe they're in the forest. And the Paretz says, no, not this late. Don't you know, at the end of the day, Psachia, he goes back to his little house, and it's in the other part of the forest, and the workers, they go to their building, which is in a different part of the forest, not over here. There's nobody over here. Maybe there's some kind of troublemakers over here. We better go quietly. Now take your horses very quietly through the snow, and let's go and check out this fire. And they get closer. And somebody says, hey, look, Paretz, it's Psachia the Jew. Do you see him? He's sitting by that fire. You could see his face shining in the fire. The fire is lighting up the whole place over there. Look, he's crying. And somebody else says, but look, there are candles burning. He's burning candles in the snow. What's going on? And another one of the goyim says, well, the Jews have a holiday. Maybe it's their Shabbos. Maybe now is Shabbos, and Psachia lit the candles. No, the women like candles. Today's not Saturday, and he's not in the forest. They don't like candles in the middle of the forest. Anyway, over there is five candles, and they don't like five candles. They like two candles. Well, I don't know what's going on over there. And the Paretz says, listen, you don't know what's going on. I happen to know it's Hanukkah. The Jews have a holiday, it's called Hanukkah. It's 8 days long, and each time they burn more candles and more candles. So he's probably burning his Hanukkah candles. Yeah, but why in the middle of the forest? And why is he crying? Is it a sad day or something? And the Paretz says, well, I don't understand, because I know that Psachia has the little house, and I've seen him over there burn the candles for Hanukkah in the wintertime by his house, but I never saw him in the middle of the forest burn the candles for Hanukkah. And it's not a sad day, it's a happy day. There must be something wrong. He's really crying, look at him. And they went closer. The Paretz says, be very quiet. There must be something wrong over here. And all of a sudden, one of the other hunters, the friends of the Paretz, he says, hey, look at all those men over there with the axes. Look at them. They're looking at Psachia. Who are those men? And the poet says, now they're behind some of the trees, and they're very quiet, nobody could see them. The horses are very quiet going through the snow. And the poet says, those are his workers. They're the ones that work in the forest and chop down the trees for Psachia. Those are the ones that live in the building. Well, how come they're not in the building? And what are they doing over there? And the poet sees that the workers are counting money. And they're laughing. And every once in a while, they're looking at Psachia and they're lifting up their axes. And some of them are practicing swinging their axes. And the poet was a smart man. Now, you don't have to be that smart to figure out what's going on. The poet says to his friend,